Good morning. I appreciate, definitely would appreciate your prayers and really humbled by the opportunity to stand before you this morning. I've had a lot of thoughts on my mind, and definitely this is one that, I was talking to David before, you know, Daniel, when he does his podcast, he always asks, you know, how do you prepare for a sermon? And mine is typically, you know, when I know that I'm going to be preaching and I start to give it some prayer and I start to think about it and I start to kind of, it always seems like these ideas come. And I'm one of these guys that I could probably have 100 notebooks spread around, you know, in my office, at my house, in my car. And I just kind of jot notes as I go, or I'm really trying, you know, to use Siri more. And so, hey Siri, send me a message. Leave me, you know. So, Siri, sorry. So, this one was no different, but it was really interesting. I just want to tell this story, and so I had prepared, and I had several scriptures. In fact, starting last Sunday, and as I was listening to our brother D.A. preach, and it kind of pulled some of those thoughts that I had had together, but I was struggling with the example that I wanted to share, or trying to put a title to what I wanted to share today. And literally, as I was driving here this morning, I was praying for the Lord's direction on that. And I sat here this morning in the Sunday school class. Yes, Milo, I was late. But I heard the comments of our brother Milo share. And it was a study that he had, but he said these comments multiple times. Am I on my mission, or am I on the mission of Christ? And I probably didn't say it exactly the way you said it, but ultimately I took that as, you know, am I going through life on my mission, my plan? Or am I on the mission of Christ? And you know, that really resonated to me in the scripture that I want to share and the thoughts that I want to share. I want to start with one scripture just to kind of kick things off. And it's going to read out of Matthew 16. And I'm just going to start with the 15th verse. And we're actually going to come back to that chapter and read other portions within that chapter. But it's a verse that we know, and it's a verse that we've read many times. It's a verse that I know that we think of a lot. And it says, he saith unto them, and this is Christ speaking, but whom say ye that I am? Right? Christ speaking unto the disciples, Christ speaking at that time, and he says, but whom say ye that I am? And so, you know, I would ask you, as I think about this scripture and I think about these words, you know, how many times have you been new to something, right? You're new to a job, or you're new to school, or you're new to whatever experience in life that you've had, and somebody comes up and they say, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so, who are you? Or what do you do? How do you answer that? I had an experience where, you know, I had a guy ask me, and I'm the new guy, and the guy comes up and he says, well, who are you and what do you do? And, you know, I'm in charge of this group or in charge of this thing, and my cheesy line that I say is, well, you know, I wash the dishes and I sweep the floor, right? But you know, ultimately, you know, for each of us, you know, this example, and not that it applies to this example, but clearly, you know, Christ is speaking unto us. And this is the message that I really want to drive at today is, but whom say ye that I am? You know, is Christ prevalent in our lives that people see that example of him through us? Is Christ prevalent in our lives that as we go about our days and as we go about this time that we have, this time of preparation, is Christ living in our lives? I'm going to jump back and I'm going to start at the 13th verse and we're going to read down through the 28th verse. Starting at the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." You know, this isn't a new verse, and this isn't something that we haven't read multiple times in this chapter as we read through this chapter, you know, but the example that Christ sets, and I think what the point that, again, that I want to really try to drive to us today is this example of Christ in our lives. Our brother D.A., he had a sermon, and I would encourage you, I don't know if it was recorded, but, you know, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. And it applies to that example that Milo shared with us today. You know, am I on my mission, my own purpose, my own will, the things that I want to do and the things that I see right? You know, how many times in a marriage, you know, how many times do you agree with your spouse? Always, right, Uncle Mike? Right? So how many times do we have our own will in our relationship? How many times in our relationship with Christ do we have our own will? And the example that D.A. stood out to me, and as I heard him deliver that message last week, you know, the example is, and I think I heard Donnie say it here today, you know, I have a desire to do good. I have a desire to do the will of the Lord. But I have a free will agency that, unfortunately, I have a humanness in me that I stumble and I fall, right? And it comes back to, you know, if we were to ask, you know, do we serve the Lord? How many of you would say you're followers of Christ? 100%. But how many of us through our lives, and you know, so many times I think this is on me. And the example that D.A. shared, you know, is, you know, I profess, and I'm using my words, D.A., but, you know, I confess to those that I am a follower of Christ. But in my example of my life, do I truly set that example? Right? The example that stood out to me, you know, is I really don't like funerals. But does it not say in the scripture that we're called to weep with our loved ones? Sorry, D.A., I'm butchering that you shared. Right? If I don't have to go to a wedding, you know, aren't we called to celebrate that time and that celebration of life? Right? I'm not saying that thou shalt just broke a commandment when you don't go to a funeral for a loved one. Right? But recognize, and I think, you know, that thing that really stood out to me in this scripture, you know, who do you say I am? Am I saying that I'm truly that follower of Christ? And I believe, you know, that we are being called to be that example. Turn with me to Mosiah, the first chapter. And I'm going to read several verses out of Mosiah. I'm going to start at the 97th verse. So Mosiah, the first chapter, starting at the 97th verse. For behold, the time cometh, and it is not far distant, that with power the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than men can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And I want to stop there, and I want to keep going as we go through this, you know. But I'm reminded of, you know, this, you know, and multiple times, and I could be really creative and go in and figure out how many times is the word omnipotent used throughout the scriptures. But you know, this calling of and this reinforcement of Christ, this omnipotent, this unlimited power, this able to do anything. And you know, again, our own will, our own desires, you know, I want my mother-in-law to be healed immediately, right? But the Lord's plan will prevail, right? And we have to trust that the Lord's will be done in our lives. And clearly, we don't understand it, right? We don't like it, or it doesn't fit with my plan, or it doesn't fit with my schedule. And lo, he cometh unto his own, speaking of Christ, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after this, after all this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And he shall rise the third day from the dead. And behold, he standeth to judge the world. And behold, all these things are done, that a righteous judgment might come upon the children of men, upon us. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. But woe unto him who knoweth that he rebelleth against God, for salvation cometh to none such, except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord God hath sent his holy prophets among the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue. And thereby whosoever shall believe that Christ should come, the same might receive remission of their sins and rejoice with exceeding great joy, even as though he had already come among them. And I've just got a few more verses. I'm sorry for the length. Yet the Lord God saw that his people were stiff-necked people, and he appointed unto them a law, even the law of Moses, and many signs and wonders and types and shadows showed he unto them concerning his coming. And also holy prophets spake unto them concerning his coming, and yet they hardened their hearts and understood not that the law of Moses availeth nothing, except it were through the atonement of his blood. And even if it were possible that little children could sin, they could not be saved. But I say unto you, they are blessed. For behold, as Adam, or by nature they fall, even so the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. And moreover, I say unto you, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. And you know, really, it's something that I feel that we could stop there. And I think it really continues to reinforce in that challenge. You know, Michelle and I are in the process of somewhat moving, I guess. It's hard to say. But I took a new job, and we're in the process of moving to Michigan. And with everything going on with Diane, Michelle's going to stay here for a while until we know kind of where that goes. But this really has kind of stood out to me in this example is as I go out and I start meeting new people and going around and kind of taking in the new area, one of the things that I've noticed, so the community that we're moving to, it's called Holland, Michigan, and little town on right on Lake Michigan, and very much a Dutch community. I asked my mom, I wish you would have named me my middle name Van so that I could throw Van Oldham in when I introduce myself. But one of the things that's been really interesting to me has been as I've met people very openly, people are saying, do you have a church? Where are you going? Why don't you come with us this Sunday? And I was really impressed by it. And I've had a number of people, multiple people that have encouraged me to come to their church. And every time, hey, I appreciate that. I actually, fortunately, have a local not too far from here that I get to go to. And that stirs another, well, that's really weird. You go to a church in Missouri and there's a church up here and just kind of doesn't make sense. But all that being said, you know, I think about the number of times in my life where have I been that quick to share my encouragement with others? Do you have a church? Are you new in this area? Do you have a place to go? Do you have a place to worship? Right? And I'm not trying to stir us up, or I'm not trying to challenge us, but I guess, you know, it's no differently than, you know, who are you? What do you do? What makes you up? What's a part of your life? What's in your life? Who are you? And is Christ in your life? And can that example be seen? And are we on that mission of Christ of how we engage with people? Right? I heard a guy one time, and he talked about, you know, any time that he traveled a lot, he flew a lot. Any time he was in an Uber and he got in a car with someone, with a driver, you know, he had a personal mission that every time he was going to engage with that driver. Where is Christ in your life? Right? Just kind of throw that question out there. Nothing like breaking the ice right in with, where is Christ in your life? Have you ever done that? Rusty, you travel a lot. Have you ever done that in an Uber?
No.
Right? And you know, I mean, it's you know, I have a series of questions every Uber driver I ask is, so what got you to start driving Uber? Right? A long ways from, you know, this witnessing to others. And again, I drive back to the question that Milo asked us earlier this morning. Am I on my mission or am I on a mission of Christ? And that's the point that I'm trying to continue to drive out at us is, you know, I truly believe that everyone here that's been baptized, I truly believe that those that have turned their life over to Christ believe that. But I think we're also being challenged, and I think we're being called, and I think we're being expected to come up to a higher level for Christ. Turn with me to James, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 12th verse. James 5, starting at 12. But above all things, right? And you know, recognize what that's saying. But above all things, this is a big deal, right? It says, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Right? And ultimately, really, very simply, right? Our simple yes should be yes, or no should be no, but it's completely binding in what we're doing. Right? How many of you like to tell people no? How many of you are really good at telling people no? I'm horrible at telling no. But clearly, how many times have you been asked to do something, and what happens? You immediately do what? In your mind, right? And so what do? Oh, well, right? And I think clearly, you know, again, this comes back to, am I on my mission or am I on the mission of Christ? One of the things, I'll pick on my dad for a minute. One of the things that I've learned from my dad, and one of the things that I really appreciate, is this desire to be of service. Now, there's times that my dad and I don't agree on how we go about something. I know that'll surprise people, right? But truly that example, and I'm not picking on him because he's sitting up here with me, but that example of, I know my dad would jump in a car in the middle of the night and drive halfway across this world to go do the calling of the Lord. Right? And clearly, you know, it's, again, it's that challenging for us is, it's a yes or a no. Now, we could say no, right? But I think we're being challenged, you know, as brothers and sisters, you know, when we see our brothers and sisters that are weeping, our challenge is, a DA resonated to me last week, when we see our brother and sister that's struggling, right, that we are to reach out to them and engage. When we see our brothers and sisters that are in need, we are to reach out and engage, right? And again, this verse says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, right? I don't think it's saying that don't swear by saying the word of God as a bad name, as a bad word, right? I think what this is saying is ultimately, you know, let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. Right? We've got to be honest and we've got to be transparent and we've got to communicate with our brothers and sisters. You know, some of us are introverted people. Some of us are extroverted people. Some of us are people that, you know, I'm not one that really, if I go to a Wednesday night service or if I go to a prayer testimony service, I want to hear your prayer requests. I want to hear your testimonies, but I'm not one to jump up and say, you know, here's what is bothering me. Right? But we're being called to share with our brothers and sisters. Continuing on in the 13th verse, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil, with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, I wasn't here for the last ministry meeting that Brother Dan had, and I really appreciated it that I could dial in and connect in. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about this meeting, and you know, our brother Dan, as the pastor of the church, is, you know, he'll bring things to the ministry and he'll ask them, you know, here's what's going on. Here's what the challenge is, or here's what's, you know, what we're hearing. But at the same time, some of our brothers have been coming prepared with, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. And I'm not going to pick on my brother Cody, but I really appreciated my brother Cody. You know, he had a couple questions. And he said, you know, here's what I'm thinking, or here's what I'm wondering, right? Doesn't relate to confess your faults. It wasn't a fault that Cody was sharing. I'll clarify that. But you know, that ability is brothers. You know, we have a brother that is recently, and in fact, our brother Brickhouse, is extending an offer to the ministry of the church to come together on a virtual lunch, to come together and to share that time together and to share our burdens. You know, I truly believe that there is a need of community. What happens when you come to church, you leave church, you go to your house, you shut your door, you go about your lives, you know, it isn't a great time to be out and amongst people because of everything that's going on. But what happens when you just lock yourself away and you're the only one? And yeah, I'll see Cody when I go to church, but then I go away, right? There's an importance as brothers and sisters of this community and this strengthening and this sharing with each other and this picking up the phone and calling each other, this inviting somebody over for dinner. Right, this engagement that we have and this ability to engage with our brothers and sisters. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to turn to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10, I'm just going to read the 6th through the 13th verse. But the righteous which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, and really that is, you know, that's my prayer today, is that we're not ashamed of that belief on Christ. And so many times, you know, we live in a time and a culture that, you know, so many other things are just okay. Well, you know what? It's okay. It's great that we have this belief on Christ and not be ashamed of that, that we engage with those around us, that we touch people around us, both our brothers and sisters and those that we see around us in the lives we live. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And we all know, we've read this many times, and you know, this is Paul's writing and reinforcing the legitimacy of his responsibility as a servant of Christ. And it, what did I want to read there? I just want to read, I'm going to go through. I'm going to start at the first verse. I'm going to read down through 16. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe us not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to jump down. I want to go down to starting at the 12th verse. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Right? When not to lose our heart, not to lose ourselves in the struggles and the afflictions, but to be renewed day by day in Christ. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, I don't know that I can specifically relate to what Paul was going through here at this time, but, you know, I know that many times, you know, we have these struggles, we have these challenges in our life, and we see these things that are going on around us, and we get burdened by it. And we get burdened to the point where, you know, we struggle to the point where it affects and impacts us, and it impacts those around us. But I think we have to rise above that. And I know it's easy to say. I want to go to, and really, I'm going to skip ahead. And my closing verse that I want to read is in Galatians, the 2nd chapter. And I'm gonna read just the 20th verse there. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And, you know, so really that is the message that I want to share. I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And my hope is for each of us, you know, I think it's pretty generic and pretty easy to say, you know, do you believe that Jesus is Christ? And this is important. Do you believe that Jesus is a Christ, or do you believe that he is the Christ? And I'm confident we all believe that he is the Christ. He is that which we pray to. He is that which has got to be vital in our lives. And really, you know, for each of us, it is that, you know, are we on our mission? Are we on our plan, or are we on God's plan? I want to maybe wrap up with, and I just want to reinforce a request for your prayers. Diane is not good, and we know that it is the end of her days, and we're okay with that. But we just ask that the Lord's will be done. And I wasn't even going to get into this, but you know, it was that, you know, my testimony is, and the reason why I wanted to share that was, as I listened to our brother D.A. last week, and as I thought about this message, is that it's a burden, right? And what I know is that there are many other burdens. I think of our brother, that our brother Donnie brought up, you know, that the Larson family that has a family member that is in the hospital that is battling COVID. We've seen it attack those loved ones around us, and we see those afflictions, right? I want to give a message that gives us a hope, right? I know there is a plan. I know there is a path, right? I don't know what it is, but, you know, that reinforcement for each of us, you know, the part that, you know, Michelle's telling me about, you know, as people would bring over meals and what that did to Bic, right? You know, I don't want to speak for Mark, but I know that, you know, I know that there were people that reached out and engaged with them when Bobby was in the hospital, and my guess is that left an impression on him. You know, for each of us, and I think, you know, this time that we're in, right, we can look down and we can be really discouraged and scared. Brothers and sisters, look up. There's a hope. There's an awesome God that we have that gives us that direction, right? I look at, you know, and I think about, you know, this, I don't want to be that sad person. I don't want to be that emotional person. I want to be that person that stands up here, and that you see that example in me, and that I see that example in you, that we're strengthening each other in our lives. We're strengthening each other in our walk. That we're challenging each other. You know, that my brother Cody sees me struggling, that he calls me out on it. Right? That time that we see that we have that ability to love each other enough, that we have that open and honesty, that we have that ability to love our brothers and our sisters enough, that we reach out when they're struggling, that we reach out when they're happy, and we celebrate that times with them. My prayers are with each of you. Thank you.